The following is a recording of a homily given by Monsignor J. Gaston Hébert, diocesan administrator for the Diocese of Little Rock. The homily was given at the annual Mass for Life, which was held January 20, 2008, at the Statehouse Convention Center Ballroom in Little Rock. The Mass immediately preceded the annual March for Life in Little Rock. This recording is copyright 2008 Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved.
Like Isaiah in the first reading, each person here was formed in the womb and called to be a servant of Christ. We are called to serve God by proclaiming His truths. We are His unworthy servants, formed to be a light to the nations, so that all might know what's right and what's wrong, and ultimately might know salvation through the forgiveness of sin. That is the purpose for which we are formed in the womb of our mothers. The words of the book of Psalms, so beautifully sung, responded to that divine purpose for which we are formed in the womb. We answered God with, "Behold, I've come to do your will. That's why I'm here. I know that." In other words, the faithful responded, "You betcha, God. I know why I'm here. I rejoice that you trusted me to be your servant, the light to proclaim you to all the world. Here I am, Lord." Paul, in the second reading, in his letter to the Corinthians, recognizes that the purpose of God in the formation of man when he stands and says there, "We are called to be holy," puts it in one good word. It is a call extended to every single person here. You are called, however unworthy you may think of yourself, to be holy. It is extended to all of us to an entrance into the real life of Almighty God. We are to share that with Him. Called to leave the darkness behind, enter into the light. It is only in the recognition and the acceptance of the fact that, yes, I am called to be holy, that when we become enabled to also be the light of the world that points to Christ and the way of salvation to all mankind. Then John the Baptist in the Gospel has that moment, you know, that we have from time to time where it all simply comes together. And he recognizes in that moment of clarity that his purpose, the reason he was formed in the womb of his mother, was to prepare the way of the Lord. And he sees Christ and he recognizes him as the Son of God. And he points and says, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So we have Isaiah in the first reading. We have Paul in the second reading. We have St. John the Baptist in the Gospel. And they're all recognizing the fact that they are there to proclaim God. God formed them in the wombs of their mothers that they might do so. All of those people who did that suffered rejection. And as you know, Paul and John the Baptist, not only rejection, but martyrdom, for proclaiming simply what they knew to be the truth, for being faithful servants of God, for being the light that leads to Christ. Benedict XVI, in his encyclical Spe Salvi, points out the hope of salvation, that hope that we all have that keeps us going when things get rough, because we all know that we have that hope. God loves us. We're headed towards heaven. That's our hope. He states the gospel is both informative and performative. He says it is informative in the sense that it tells us about what happened at that time. It informs us. But it is also performative. Because the one that truly hopes in his life lives differently. He performs differently if he has that hope. We are impelled to proclaim the truth. If I have that hope, then I have to tell people where it comes from. We're impelled to proclaim the truth, to impart hope to others, to say, look, life has meaning. You still have hope. To promote the well-being of individuals, and please note this, we're going to promote the well-being of individuals, but also we're going to promote the common good. The people throughout all the nation, not just those around us. All of this must be built solidly to begin with upon the commandment that you're going to love your neighbor. And you and I know that that reaches its highest peak through the respect and the promotion of human life. If you love your neighbor, you're going to promote their life, their ability to live, and the dignity of that life. We live in a society where moral values and the adherence to revealed truth has consistently eroded over the past 60 or so years. Consequently, the respect that we show to life has plummeted. Who would have ever believed in 1950 that states would enact laws permitting euthanasia for those who become too old, too much pain, or they become unproductive to society? Who would have believed that schools in our country would come to the point that they would dispense birth control devices to middle school students? Who would have believed that this miracle of communication called the computer would degrade our society and the minds of our youth with pornography? Who would have predicted the drug culture that is behind most of the crime in our society and has literally ruined millions and millions of lives? Who could have foreseen the tragedy of pedophilia? Who could predict hearts so cold, minds so blind, that over the past 35 years since Roe v. Wade, as was announced at the beginning of this Mass, we've seen the abortion, the death of almost 50 million babies who were killed in the wombs of their mothers and some even during the process of their delivery. And that the high courts of this land, sworn to promote life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, have by some contorted form of logic placed their blessings upon the barbaric slaughter of Americans' innocents. Who could have foreseen the destruction of life beginning at its most embryonic stage and throughout pregnancy? And who could have ever dreamed that the most dangerous place to live in the United States of America is in the womb of one's mother, where life is not protected? Is it not clear that we live in a society where the strong feed upon the weak? At either end of the life spectrum, where one is helpless, your life is in peril. The USCCB document on faithful citizenship states, we are called to promote the well-being of all, to protect the dignity of all, especially the weak, the vulnerable, and the voiceless. It is not enough, however, for us to bemoan the immorality of the day. For remember, you and I are the ones that were formed in the womb to bring truth, to point to God's will, to restore health to a failing nation, to return those virtues that are life-giving and life-sustaining. You and I are the ones who are to communicate to our society hope. Like the Good Samaritan, we are to lift up an ailing nation and care for those wounds inflicted by selfishness and injustice. So we meet today to praise and to ponder, to pray and to protest. The bishops of our country last fall issued a document entitled Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. It is a strong, insightful document which points to the Catholics' moral responsibility to be involved in the political process. It states, I quote, important, the Church's obligation to participate in shaping the moral character of society is a requirement of our faith. Shaping society is a requirement of our faith. It is necessary that all participate, each according to his position and role, in promoting the common good. Unquote. This is precisely why we are here today. It is precisely what you are doing today. You have come here, first of all, to praise God. And then you are to be informed, as you have been through the Scriptures, and then hopefully through my talk about the teachings and the traditions of the Church. Then you will be nourished with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, whom you have praised and whom you saw during exposition. And then you are to go out of this Mass and you are to make a difference in the promotion and the protection of the dignity and the very essence of life, God-given life. We are rapidly approaching the primaries in our own state. A Catholic has a serious moral responsibility, to cast an informed vote. That vote should be directed by a well-formed conscience based upon the teachings of our Lord as enunciated through the tradition of the Church. If a Catholic were to vote for a candidate who embraces a position favoring an intrinsic evil, such as racism or abortion, in support of that position, then that Catholic would be guilty of formal cooperation in grave evil. While other moral questions must be addressed, such as the war in Iraq, housing, health care, immigration, hospitalization, and a host of others, which would also deal with the dignity of human life, none touch so fundamentally the very essence of God-given life as the question of abortion. The Church does not, nor should it, endorse particular candidates, but it does thankfully make Catholics aware of grave moral issues, which should affect the manner in which they vote. A Catholic does not leave his religion, his moral beliefs, at the door when he enters the polling place. Both his faith and his love for his country and his love for his fellow man demand that his vote be consistent with the protection and dignity of the essence of human life. A Catholic vote must rise above the narrow, selfish interest that he might have or any partisan politics. Like Isaiah then, like Paul, like John the Baptist, you and I have been formed in the womb of our mothers by God with a mission. We are to be holy. We are to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are to be filled with enough love of God and neighbor and country to have the courage to stand up for that which is right before God. We are to be the leaven of society. We are to be the light which leads others to God. We are to protect and we are to promote the dignity of life. And by God's holy name, we shall do so.